We've been looking at the concept of bringing Jannah down to earth and focusing on the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 201, where he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa minhum man yaqulu Rabbana atina fi dunya atinatan wa fil akhirati atinatan wa qina adhaban nar. And there are some amongst them who say, our Rabb, grant us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and save us from the punishment of the fire. We've established that we are responsible for ourselves, and we write our own biographies. We've also looked at the various qualities of Ahlul Jannah that we've gleaned from the Quran, and we've also looked at the fact that in Rasulullah we have the perfect ideals to follow, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab says, لَقَدْ قَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُصْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Indeed, in the Messenger of Allah you have the most perfect example. Now we need to establish an action plan to reach our desired goal, which is to be Ahlul Jannah. The whole process of this spiritual evolution begins with an awareness of the desire to reach the destination, or rather the knowledge that there is no choice. It is either Jannah or Jahannam. It is either peace or agitation. It is either reaching our full potential or wasting our time on earth and therefore being losers. It's either being winners or losers. Either we go towards a nafs that is in tawheed and that's whole, or we go to a directionless splintered nafs. Know that there is no middle road. There is no compromise. And if you continually say this to yourself, then maybe there will be a paradigm shift. Incidentally, the paradigm shift, the word was first introduced by Thomas Kuhn in his book, The Structure of Scientific Revolutions. And he shows that every significant breakthrough is first to break with old paradigms. You've got to set aside a time each day and call it your meditation time. In this meditation time, think about the ultimate choices you have. And really, if one ponders deeply, we will find that there is a freedom of no choice. There is only one reality, one goal, and that is to be Ahlul Jannah. The other thing that we've got to tell ourselves is that there is no dress rehearsals. We get only one chance from now to Qiyamah to establish ourselves and realize our full potentials. I mentioned yesterday that we would first look at the concept of self-esteem. Self-esteem is composed of two components, basic worth and competence. Basic worth is really a positive sense of one's inherent worth, and competence is knowing that one is capable of meeting one's needs and the needs of others. When you have self-esteem, you are resistant to dependencies. You trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have an ability to be self-directed, inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have an ability to cope with adversities, and it reflects itself in having strong relationships with others. And generally people with self-esteem are happy. Remember the ayah of Quran when we talked about Ahlul Jannah? No fear, no grief. Self-esteem radiates in a person like stained glass windows. If you have a stained glass window, it's very beautiful during the day as well. But at night it's more beautiful, because the light, when it shines from within, it shows its beauty. It's amazing how it radiates. Let's look at the other side so we know what low self-esteem is. When we don't have self-esteem, then you see how it expresses itself in rebelliousness, underachievement. People have eating disorders. They don't get on well with very many people because they're always suspecting people. There's no trust. There's strained relationships. And then there's a general unhappiness about them. So it's important to keep this in mind and try to develop the self-esteem through using Rasulullah as our example. Now, once you've set a time aside to meditate or to think, then start with your words first. Change the way you say things, especially to yourself. When we're meditating, you can't empty the mind completely. Because if you emptied the mind, you'd be dead. There's always a thought flow that goes in. But change the way you say things to yourself. When a thought comes in, because we have internal conversations, that's what thinking is about. Rather than say, there's nothing I can do about it, tell yourself, let's look at the alternatives. Rather than say, I have to do this, say, I choose to do this. Rather than say, I can't, say, I choose not to do this. Rather than saying, I must, say, I prefer. Very often, this sort of language that we use, which is reactive language, becomes self-fulfilling prophecies. So we've got to be proactive, we've got to be positive in all our thoughts. And this comes to the second step, which is being proactive. It actually means taking the initiative, taking responsibility for our own lives. Remember, responsibility comes from response and ability, the ability to choose our response. Janna will just not appear. Self-esteem will just not appear. We've got to confront the first primordial sin of the human being, and that in essence is laziness. It's been said that it's not a problem of mind over matter, but mind over mattress. The idea is to acquire the logistics of a plan from something revelationary. And we've looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I admit, albeit, we've just touched the tip of the iceberg. There's so much to it. But that's up to all of us, all individuals of us, to come and read, to find out more. Remember, people who are not proactive, who don't make an effort to take the first step, who don't have the right intentions, who don't have a yearning for Jannah, they're affected by physical and social environments. If the weather is good, they feel good. If people treat them well, they feel fine. They build their lives around the behavior of others. Thus, they empower others to control them. But when you have a goal, when you have an intention, when you want to get there, when you want something, these people are driven by values. And nothing hurts them without their permission. I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt who said, "No one can hurt you without your permission." So let's start by shifting the paradigms we have in all aspects of our life. See, we look at all four aspects: physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. So today, let's give it a go. Let's start with the physical, which is the most obvious. But first, let's understand the connection between belief and its outward manifestation in our physical behavior. In Surah Al-Hujurat, which is Surah number 49, Ayah 14, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم وإن تطيعوا الله ورسوله لا يلتكم من أعمالكم شيئا إن الله غفور رحيم. The dwellers of the desert say, we believe. Say, you don't believe, but say, we submit. And iman has not yet entered into your hearts. And if you obey Allah and His Messenger, He will not diminish any of your deeds. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. When the desert dwellers came to the Prophet and said, "Well, we believe," he said, "No, you have acknowledged the fact that there is one God and acknowledged that I am His Rasul, I am His Prophet, but iman has not entered your hearts." Allah says, "Iman enters your hearts when tuti Allah wa Rasulahu." When you obey Allah and His Messenger. There's a difference between knowing something and believing in it. This is what I'm trying to get at. See, Shaitan knew Allah as the Creator, because when he was being thrown out of Jannah, he was asked why. And he says, this is Surah Al-A'raf, he says, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تِينٍ. You created me of fire and you created him, which is Adam, out of dust. So he knew Allah was the Creator. When he asked to be respited, he said, until يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ, the day when you will be raised. Therefore he knew of the day of resurrection. And he also knew there would be those he would not be able to deviate, those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he says, I will deviate them, but I will not be able to deviate those who are close to you. So he knew the concept of nubuwa and wilaya, yet his knowledge did not lead him to belief. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him. Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 34. Aba wastakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. He refused and he was proud and he was of those who covered up the truth. Knowledge does not mean that that there is belief. So we've got to set that first in our minds. Knowing something, until you practice it again and again. And how do we do it? Imam Khomeini, alayhi rahma, advises us in a nice way, because only that will manifest which is set in the heart, he says. And he advises, first accept the articles of truth logically. So once you've accepted them, then he says, transfer it to the heart as you would a child. Repeat it again and again and again. The belief will settle in the heart with constant reminders, because truth has a tendency to settle whilst falsehood disappears. We all know this, that truth, when truth comes, falsehood disappears. Quran says, قَدْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَذَهَكَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوكًا. When truth comes, falsehood disappears, because falsehood is inherently a vanishing thing. In Suratul Araf, again, ayah 169, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَأْخَذْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِيثَاقُ الْكِتَابِ أَنْ لَا يَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ. Was not a promise taken from them in the book that they would not speak anything of Allah but the truth? Look at all the concepts of truth and repeat them to yourself again and again and again. And the best way is to be able to understand Salah. Well, we repeat the truth of our faith again and again and again. And it's with these instructions that we now look at the physical manifestation of belief. Let's divide it into three. We'll look at appearance, and by appearance I mean health and attire, what you wear, because that basically is what you see first, and it's what hits us first, right, of a person. The second thing is the language. When they open their mouths, immediately know what lies beneath them, and finally their behavior. The physical dimension of health is caring effectively for the body, eating the right foods, getting sufficient rest and exercise, and all of these have been recommended by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have so many recommendations. You cannot abuse this amana given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For where will you and I develop the heat, if I can say, the energy to be able to do anything right, if we do not look after our bodies? It is the vehicle of the nafs. We have so much that has been given to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Masumin alayhi salam, which teach us what to eat, what not to eat, what to drink, what not to drink. Let me give you some examples. For example, there is Mamun Rashid had asked Imam Ali Ridha alayhi salam to write him a treatise which would help Mamun be able to have good health. And it's a whole treatise which Mamun was so impressed with. He had it written in gold, and therefore it's called Risalatu Zahabiya. We have a translation of this in English, and it's an amazing treatise. And it, besides giving all the things that are good and you to be eaten, not to be eaten, what to do, what not to do, it has a monthly program of what to avoid and what not to. For example, this is the month of March, and it says, in March the days and nights are refreshing. The circulation of blood intensifies, so eat food that is easily digestible. Avoid onions, avoid garlic and sour foods. Eat meat and half-boiled eggs. There's so many practical examples. For example, Imam says, if you eat too many eggs, you will end up with wrinkles. Don't eat eggs and fish at the same time, he says, because it will cause you to suffer from arthritis or colic, piles, toothache. He says, a shower or a bath with a full stomach will cause colic. If you have sore eyes, he says, in the morning, then avoid citrus fruits, eating them after nightfall. So many examples. Maybe you could get a copy of the book. Contact the Islamic Education Board, and inshallah they will be able to get you a copy. He says, Imam says, if you would like a trim and sound body, and who doesn't? He says, eat a little quantity of food at dinner. He says, if you do not want to fall a victim to jaundice, then don't step out of the house immediately after opening the door in winter, and don't enter a closed house at once in summer. To avoid decay of teeth, he says, eat a small piece of bread before you consume any kind of sugared sweets. He said, if you want to digest your food, after you've eaten, rest a while. He said, on the side, on one side, and then on the other side, there are so many things here that are practical and help to be able to achieve a healthy dimension to our physical life, which in turn enables us to be able to function properly.